Today I'm going to be preaching on the picture of leprosy as sin. You see, it's all through the Old Testament. It's a picture of sin. You see, it's a disease that's contagious. It spreads across your body. It kills you really without you feeling it. And man can't do anything to cure it, at least in the Bible's time. And it separates you from the house of God. We're mainly going to be focusing on the separation that is the result of having leprosy. Now, let's go back into the law and see what it says when a priest confirms that a man has leprosy. And you see in Leviticus 13, 2 through 4, it says, "When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priests. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague is in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is the plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean." So you see, the law had a lot to say about leprosy. It talks about it a lot more other places. But you, as you read through it, you realize, wait, it doesn't say a word about how to cure it. The law only talks about how to diagnose someone with leprosy. Yeah, it confirms right. That you have leprosy, and then you are separated from the house of God. It's a hopeless situation. Imagine going to the doctor and saying, "Hey, I have this disease." And they're like, "Yep, you do. Okay, bye." And then, yeah, it diagnosed you, but it couldn't save you from it. And then you go into Leviticus 13:44 and through 46, it says, "He is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, 'Unclean, unclean,' all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be." It says that a leprous man is utterly unclean. That is what sin does to us. Those in sin are utterly unclean. The law doesn't give us a way to bring us back. It just confirmed that we are utterly unclean. It separated us from God because light cannot dwell with darkness.
Amen.
And then Numbers 5, 2 through 3 says, "Command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper and every one that hath an issue, and whosoever is defiled by the dead, both male and female shall you put out. Without the camp shall you put them, that they defile not their camps in the midst whereof I dwell." God commanded those that were unclean to leave where he dwelt. Only those who are pure can dwell with God. Mm-hmm. And then in Romans 3:19 through 24, we see, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith unto them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God.
Right.
Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." So by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's all the law did for us. It showed that we were unclean. It showed that we had the leprosy of sin. But if we read on in this passage in Romans 3, it says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ." So the law that didn't give you a way to be cured of leprosy or sin, Christ did. But how did Christ do this? As Hebrews 9:22 says, "And almost all things in the law were purged with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission." You see that cleansing requires the shedding of blood. And you look back in the law what it says to do when someone is cured of leprosy. This isn't how to cure someone of leprosy. This is once someone is cured. But you see in Leviticus 14, 3, it says, "And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command him to take him that is cleansed 2 birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and let the living bird loose into an open field." In order to cleanse a cured leper, there needs to be a shedding of blood. Blood and water flowed down in this cleansing, just as when Christ was killed. And then continuing in that passage, verse 8 and 9 says, "And he that is cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp. He shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. But it shall be on the 7th day that he shall shave off all his hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows. Even all his hair shall he shave off, and he shall wash his clothes, and he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean." You see that the cleansed leper took away all remembrance of his life of separation. He was a new man who could come back to the house of God. A cleansed leper doesn't live as he used to, just like how we don't continue our life of sin after we've been cleansed and brought back from sin. And then let's look at the story of Naaman's cleansing from leprosy. Amen. This is in 2 Kings 5, and then we'll read 8 through 15. Sorry, I have a lot of long passages, but they're all very good and they all fit in. So, this is after the king had been asked to cure Naaman, and he rent his clothes because he knew he couldn't cleanse Naaman of his leprosy. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, and he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and his chariot and stood in the door of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abna and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be cleaned?" So he turned and went away in rage. You see, he was expecting something dramatic to save him. He's expecting not to just receive a word that he should obey and have faith in. But then it says in verse 13, "And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if this prophet bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather this, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean. And he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." You see that faith was essential in this cleansing. We must believe that God is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Christ has called us to wash and be clean. We must receive... We must believe and be baptized, just as Naaman washed in the Jordan. And his flesh came again unto him like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean, it says. Naaman was a new man after this. You see, he left all other gods to serve the Lord only after this cleansing also. When we are cleansed and given a new man, we must devote ourselves fully to our Savior. And then also looking back here, you see that... Elisha didn't come out to Naaman. He just gave him a word. We've just been given a word. Christ doesn't come down to each of us separately physically and tell us what we need to do. He gives us a word through a messenger, and then we do that in faith, and that is how we are cleansed. Mark 1:40 through 44 says, "And there came a leper to him," and this is Jesus, "beseeching him and kneeling down to him, saying, 'If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.' And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hands and touched him and saith unto him, 'I will, be thou clean.' And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, 'See that thou say nothing to no man, but go thy way, and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them.'" When we have faith that that Christ will cleanse us, he will have compassion and do that. But you see, he had to have faith. You see, and that's important. We have to believe that Christ can save us from our sins and he can cure us.
Amen.
And finally, what should we do after we are cleansed? You read in Luke 17, it says in verse 12, "And he entered into a certain village, and there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? There were not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger.' And he said unto them, 'Arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole.'" So we don't want to be the other 9. Jesus shouldn't be asking, "Where did you go?" after he heals us.
Yeah.
You must return to God and glorify him for your cleansing, that he has saved us from this horrible disease of sin, just as he saved these lepers. We must remain thankful, and that's something we have to remember, that sin was a great disease without any cure, and yet Christ came down and touched us and saved us from it.
Amen.
Do you have any comments or corrections?
It made me really think about the terminalness of leprosy.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to die. This was basically a death sentence.
Yeah.
And the people, they had no recourse. Like you said, they had no remedy for this. But if there was a remedy, like Naaman, you know, he would have went to the far places to go find that cure. That's the seriousness of sin. People don't realize the fatality of sin, the fatalness of sin.
Yeah.
But if they did, it's like a cancer. They'll go out of their way to do anything to cure this cancer.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I don't want to say all we have to do, but the remedy is there. The redemption is there in Christ Jesus. So you see that by people not running to Christ to be cured of their sin, it reveals that they do not see the death that is associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they did, they would run to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And for Naaman, it was a simple request.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like that was the hard thing about it for him, was that it was just simple. And it required faith. And
I like how you brought out that the law could give the diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still true for us. It's through the law is the consciousness of sin. There's no mission for us without the shedding of blood. It's Jesus' blood that can take it away. Only that.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
For the law is the knowledge of sin. How we knew we needed the Savior.
It shows us all the ways in which we don't measure up. Mm-hmm. And we need that until we recognize and admit that we're hopeless. Nothing really can be done for us. We have to submit ourselves to the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And we were talking this morning at Bible study about dying and being born again. The destruction of the flesh, the salvation of the spirit.
Mm-hmm. When you were reading about that, made me think about how helpless you would feel if you were being kicked out of the camp and there was nothing you could do to change the situation. Mm-hmm. And he was sent, the servant, and without Christ coming in and saving us, we couldn't fix it ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then, but about the 10 lepers who Jesus healed, thought of the joy that at least the one had when realizing that we weren't in that anymore. Mm-hmm. Be free.
Also, something we have to remember that it was our fault that we got this disease. This wasn't like, oh, we just ended up with a disease and then we were kicked out of the house of God. But no, it was our sin. It's sin that we have committed that separated us from God. This was all our fault, and this is God's mercy to bring us back.
Looking at the detail, we see how perfect God's word is. When we see that the blood and the water, the dove, you know, is flowing down, as Christ's blood is flowing down, everything is so perfect about the word. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Very good.
But sin is just like that it will. You know, it could start small, but it spreads. It becomes contagious. It can spread in you and to other people. Mm-hmm. It is deadly. And if we saw it like leprosy, we'd be more careful.
Mm-hmm. If your hand offend you, cut it off, Jesus said.
Yeah. Amen.
Snatch others from the fire and save them, even that's corrupted by the flesh. We need to watch ourselves lest we also be tempted. We can't think, okay, well, I'm a Christian now, none of that stuff can touch me. Well, if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh, but if you don't walk in the Spirit, you're sitting duck. You're in great peril. So there's great safety on the one hand, walking in the Spirit. No one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. But there's also peril. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall.
Amen.
All right. Well, thank you so much for all your comments. And let's close with prayer.